certainly thankful for the good song selection this morning, and thankful for the ones that came up and helped Sister Rachel to lead the singing this morning. Certainly thank you to Sister Bev for playing the piano for us. I thought she'd done a good job for us this morning. And I believe when you have talents that you need to use them for God, for nothing else except for the honor and the glory and the praise of the Lord. And so we're certainly thankful for this morning. You know, certainly thankful for that last song, "How Great Thou Art." How great God is this morning. I agree with the psalmist when I believe it's the 145th chapter of Psalm where he says, "Great is our God, and greatly he is to be praised." And so this morning, as we come this way, let's greatly praise God this morning. So before we go further in the service, I wonder if anybody has anything upon their hearts, whether it be a praise, a prayer request, or anything they just feel like needs to be said or done this morning. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to be prayerful for Brother Danny this morning. You know, when people, as a pastor, when I look out in the congregation, everybody has their seat that they sit in. And when people aren't in those seats, whether you believe it or not, you're missed. And Brother Danny's one of those that I miss him when he's not here, but let's be prayerful for him and his health. And as we look out, we see Brother Mark and Sister Cheryl and Sister Marilyn and Caitlin and others aren't with us this morning. Let's pray that God would just be with them and would comfort them. And if they're sick, that God would just have his hand of healing around them this morning. I wonder if anybody would have anything else upon their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Yes. Yes, God help. Yes, I certainly do remember Sister Mary Lou and Sister Marilyn this morning. Let's also be prayerful for Brother Scott this morning. Brother Scott had messaged me throughout the week this week. He's preaching at White's Creek once again this morning. And so let's be prayerful for our young brother as he tries to stand. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Yes. Yes, amen. Anybody else? Yes, it is. Yes.
Come here and makes life sound like hectic and busy and stressful, but all that seems to go away.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my family. I'm glad they're here today. I thank you for daily. Excited for graduating. And that's bittersweet in itself.
Bless. Yes, let's certainly be prayerful. Mindful of these prayer requests this morning, but certainly thankful for the praise that was also made this morning. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. I agree with the psalmist when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody else have anything upon their heart? Yes, I certainly do remember Brother Gerald this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts?
Brother Micah, I'd like to sing a song.
Okay.
And when you talk about gifts, I don't have the gift of it, so the scripture says to make joyful noise.
Amen.
I felt like God wanted me to sing this song last Sunday, and I didn't, so I'm going to try to be obedient. But, you know, I thought a lot about a special place. The song is I Know a Place, but you know sometimes before church I'll drive by to Grandma and Grandpa Froge's, and it's changed so much, but there are a lot of times and places in my life I count very special, and I often love to go and look in my childhood, but this song is about a different place, and it's a place that I have only been spiritually. And I've got this in my ear because I can really get out of tune. And so anyway, pray for me, and hopefully you enjoy that. I love this song, and I've loved it ever since I heard it. I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with him, there on the cross. At the cross, he died for our sin. At the cross, he gave us life again. I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with him, there on the cross. At the cross, you died for our sins. At the cross, you gave us life again. At the cross, you died for our sins. At the cross, you gave us life again. I know a place, a wonderful place.
Certainly thankful for the the cross of Calvary and the sacrifice that was paid for us this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? If not, then let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer at this time. Let us continue to be mindful of the prayer requests that was made mention of this morning. Let us be prayerful for this service, that God would be with us and would help us. But above all, let's be prayerful for those who are lost and separated from God. If nothing else needs to be said or done, Brother Greg, if you don't mind, could you lead our hearts in a word of prayer this morning? In their hearts, they feel like needs to be said or done this morning. Before we go on, yes. That's right. Lord, help us. Anybody else? If not, then we'll go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. We ask that you would pray with us and pray for us this morning as the Lord has changed our thoughts. And so we ask that you would just help us in prayer this morning. If you want to turn with us, I'll start off in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. The 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to start off with the 12th verse there. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And Paul, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time this morning. And like I said, I ask that you would just pray for us this morning, that we would do what God would have us to do. But you know, the Lord had I was hoping I could get away with going in the sixth chapter of Ephesians this morning. I really was. I was trying my best all week to try to get away with that. And I was trying my best to go somewhere else. But I knew that if I went somewhere else without the Lord's leadership, it would be a failure. And I'd fall flat on my face. But you know, here as Paul was writing here to the church, he was getting ready to depart from them. And in that last chapter, he was trying to write something that would just stick to them as he departed. And Paul spoke a little bit this morning about that spiritual warfare. And I tell you this morning, folks, we talked a little bit about Satan and temptations this morning in Sunday school, in our Sunday school class. And, you know, I was thinking this whole week and thinking last night, you know, as what Paul said, he said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight against one another. We don't fight against mankind. That shouldn't be our priority. But he said we fight against the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of the darkness. You know, today as we go on in this battle, I want you to understand our enemy isn't one another. Our enemy, your enemy isn't me, and my enemy isn't you. Our enemy this morning is Satan. Our enemy this morning is the powers and the rulers of sin, of the darkness this morning. You know, I was thinking about how there in Proverbs, we read about how there's seven things that God hates, and one of them is sowing discord among the brethren. And that word discord means division or dividing or a separating of unity. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, Satan wants his very best for the church to be divided. He wants his very best. You know what he wants? He wants us to fight against one another. He wants us to be divided. He wants you to make me a target. He wants me to make you a target. But folks, I tell you this, we don't battle against one another. We don't fight against one another. We shouldn't mock one another. We shouldn't backbite one another. But what we should do, if there is an issue that we have, that we stop whatever we're doing, we get done with all this bickering, this fighting, this arguing, and we get on our knees and take it to the Lord. That's what we should do. Folks, don't let Satan have his way. Don't let the enemy have his way. You see, that's what he wants. He wants discord to be sown. He wants a division to be among the church. He wants a separating of the unity. But I'll tell you this, as what Charles Spurgeon said years ago, a praying church is a powerful church. A church that looks to the Lord, that is a powerful church. A church that submits themselves to the Lord, that is a powerful church. Don't submit yourself to opinions. Don't submit yourself to hate. Don't submit yourself to whatever it is that's against the will of God. But rather, in all things, as what Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God in all things. Seek God. Seek what He wants. Oh, I tell you, it's so easy for emotions to get built up. And it's so easy for emotions to just go out. And it's so easy to just go with the emotion. And let me tell you this, me and my wife, we've gotten into some arguments in our marriage, and I tell you this, I don't care who you are, there's not a perfect family out there. Let's just be honest. There's not a perfect marriage couple out there. Let's just be honest. There's not a perfect person out there. We've all got our issues. Me and my wife, we've had our arguments, especially within the first few months of our marriage. We would we're trying to learn how to coincide together. We're trying to learn how to do this and do that together. And you know, sometimes I would just get so flustered. My heart would just get boiled up, and all of a sudden, before I knew it, I would just let everything go out my mouth. I wouldn't even think about what I was saying. I would just let it go out. And let me tell you, before I know it, I said some things, that I shouldn't have said, brother. I said some things. Folks, be honest with you. If you would have heard it, you would have blushed. I said some things I wish I could have took back. But I tell you this, brother. I tell you this, sister. I tell you this, church. There's times now when my emotions start getting heavy and starts flustering up. I pause for a second and I'd say, Lord, what would be the best for this situation? You see, I wasn't like that in the first few months of our marriage. I'm glad I sort of matured in that a little bit. But folks, let me tell you this. Don't let your emotions fluster up against another church member. Don't do it. You're going to say some things you're going to regret. You're going to say some things that you wish you shouldn't have said. Folks, don't do it. But when they start flustering up and they start boiling up, just pause for a second and say, God, what would you have me to do? I tell you, I know our emotions and everything, this flesh, it gets the best of us, but that's part of our battle, folks. That's part of trying to learn how to submit this flesh to the Spirit of God. That's just part of it. You know, I'm just going to move on from here if the Lord will be my helper. But folks, I want this to be the main point to get across. Don't fight one another. Don't fight one another. I don't care if you don't get another thing out of this message this morning, but when you leave, I want that to resonate in your heart. Don't fight one another. Just don't do it. You know, I've seen churches growing up, they'd start fighting one another. They start bickering one another. You know what? Within the next couple of years, that church would go from about 100 members down to about 15. Because there was things that just boiled up within people. They didn't take it to the Lord. They'd done what their flesh thought would be the best for that situation. They started backbiting against the members. They started fighting against one another. Folks, let me tell you, don't do it. Just don't. But you know, we read further on down. Paul said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Now I want us to understand this. When a soldier goes into battle, especially a soldier back in this day, when they had several pieces of heavy equipment that they had to bring with them, their breastplate, their helmet, their loins, their feet, their shield, their sword. Folks, you know, they were trained not to go in that battle unprepared. They were trying to take all of their armor with them. They were trained to not go in there half-heartedly. Folks, and I tell you this, sometimes whenever we come to church and we just come here for the motion, that's what you're doing. You're just coming here half-heartedly. I advise you, folks, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Don't just take bits and pieces. Don't take what you think would work. Don't take what you think needs to be brought. Take the whole armor of God with you. What is that armor? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. He said, take the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. He said, having your loins girt about with truth.
that truth would just be around you. That truth would just be around you. You wouldn't separate yourself from the truth. Jesus said at one point, Paul said, we don't rejoice in iniquity, but we rejoice in the truth. Folks, let me tell you, you won't find no more such a truth than what's in the Word of God this morning. You know, and I know when we read the Scriptures, it just points out things that we don't like to be pointed out. It shows us our faults. Well, guess what, folks? We've all got faults. And you know what? If there's something that happens and the preacher steps on my toes, or if there's something that happens that God just pricks my heart with it, you know what that means? That means he found fault in my daily walk with him. So you know what that means? I need to repent and get myself back in line where he could best use me. No matter how much the truth hurts, surround yourself with truth. You won't find greater peace than the true Word of God, than the instructions that are in it. Surround yourself with truth. I know this stuff goes much more deeper than what I am bringing out, but you just bear with me. He said, you surround yourself with the truth. He said, your loins girt with truth. Surround yourself with the truth. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. Make sure, you know what's in the breast there? It's the heart of man. You make sure your heart is ready and in line with God. Period. Have that breastplate of righteousness on. That breastplate of right standing with God. You make sure your heart is in line with the will of God and with the will of God alone. I know sometimes we go about through church services and we go about through some discussion when we go about through our daily life. You know what I find? Micah Barber wants to do the will of Micah Barber. This flesh wants to do the will of the flesh. This flesh wants to do the will of the world. But folks, I tell you this morning, that's not how it should be. We call ourselves the children of God, so you know what that means? We need to act like it. And you know how we act like it? We get our heart right with God. We get it in line with God. We get it in the best shape and the position that He could best use us for the battle at hand. So take that breastplate with you. And by the way, I tried to do some studying on this. Of course, breastplate throughout the centuries, it was made differently. Eventually, there was a back piece on the breastplate. But lots of times, there wasn't. It was just straps. They strapped that breastplate on, and they went into battle. You know why that was? Because they didn't believe in retreating. They didn't believe in turning their backs. You see that strap? It exposed that whole back. So that way, if they did turn back, the enemy had a clear shot. They didn't believe in turning their backs, folks. You know what I advise you this morning? Don't turn your backs on God. Don't turn your backs on Him. Don't turn your backs on one another. Oh, but keep marching forward to the battle that is ahead of us. You know, we read in Jeremiah chapter 7 there, when there was these false prophets that went in the land. Well, there you go. That was a prime example. The children of Jerusalem there, they had turned their back on God. They allowed these false prophets to go in the land, and they allowed these false prophets to start declaring all the other gods that they had. I believe one of them was Ashtaroth there. Ashtaroth was called in that Hebrew the goddess of heaven. They were prophesying about Baal and about Ashtaroth. They allowed other gods that come in and defile the land. And they defile the children and the people of God. And you know what Jeremiah said? He said, this people has went backwards and not forward. Folks, you know, when we battle one another, you know what that will include? Instead of progressing forward, we'll start digressing backwards. Instead of going to the mark where we need to be and God has called us to go, we go backwards. Don't go backwards. Anyways, going on, he said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always be prepared to give an account for God in every situation, in everything, and with everybody that comes across us. Be prepared. I tell you, Paul, when he went before those great kings, I believe King Agrippa was there, you know, and all the other kings, he didn't waste no time. He went on, and while they were trying to question him, he went on. He was prepared. He was prepared for that battle. He went on and he told them about what the Lord Jesus did for him and how the Lord Jesus saved his soul on the road to Damascus and how the Lord Jesus called him to preach and proclaim the gospel. And folks, I tell you, I believe it was there in 1 Peter as well. If I could get there, you know, y'all just bear with me. But you know, it says, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready. Be ready. There's a reason why our heart needs to be in line with God, because we never know a situation that we just might be put in to give an account for the hope that is in us. Be ready in everything, in every season. Be ready to testify of the grace of God. Be ready. Let me tell you this. You might say, well, now, preacher, this person's just going to shut their ears. This person's going to close their doors. Who cares? Who cares? Because let me tell you, you and I are called to a bunch of different jobs in this church. And each job, though they might be different, they are equal in the opportunity and responsibility of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you know what? It's who cares if they turn their back? Because let me tell you, there's probably about 10 or 15 other people waiting for you to come to them. How many times have we seen in the book of Acts? I believe one account, Paul was wanting to go to Asia, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God told him, no. Turned his back, went elsewhere. Why? Because there was a group of people that needed to hear Paul. Just because God tells you no does not mean he doesn't have your best interests at heart. I had to learn that about my parents. Do you know that? I'd get so upset. Of course, we weren't spoiled much. But every now and then, Dad, whenever we'd go out to town and we'd work on something, whether it be a barn or something with him, he'd take us out to town. He'd get me a bottle of ski. Which, if you don't know anything about ski, I'll testify this morning, it is the best citrus drink you'll ever have. Give me a bottle of ski, he'll get me a moon pie. I love moon pies. And there was one day, we went out to Lafayette, went out to town, done the job. I'm like, well, Dad, I'd like to have a ski. I'd like to be rewarded at some point. I'd like to have a moon pie. Well, no. No! Of course, lots of times we weren't spoiled. Every now and then we'd get spoiled. But folks, let me tell you this. No, especially from our Heavenly Father, is usually one of the toughest answers we'll ever have to hear. But whenever there's a no, there's another door that is opening on the other end. Sometimes we don't think about this, but if God's working on your heart, He's working on somebody else's heart. I'm shooting you honest this morning. I know I'm not getting a bunch of amens, not getting a bunch of head nods. That's okay. I'm shooting you straight this morning. Don't let Satan come in. We've got a battle that's before us. We need to fight that battle and not one another. So He said, your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. David wrote, God is my fortress and my shield. He also said in another place of the book of Psalms, I look unto the mountains, for there comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. I stand behind Him. He's the one that leads me, that guides me, that protects me from the wicked one. Folks, I tell you, He might not protect you from, but sometimes He'll protect you through the battle and through the storm and trial and tribulation. He's my rock, my shield, my everything. I need to hide behind Him. I believe there's another verse of Scripture. I believe it's the 42nd chapter of Psalm, if I'm not wrong. It says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for Thou hast been a shelter for me. You're my dwelling place. You're the one I go to flee from the storms of life. Hide behind Him. Don't go into battle and you forgot to take God with you. Let me tell you, when we're born again, you know the Bible says God plants His Spirit within us, making us a new creature. Meaning we have the indwelling of the Spirit with us. You know what that means? When somebody says, when we dismiss service and somebody says, next Sunday bring God with you, let me tell you, you can. You can, but you have to stay in holy communion and fellowship with God. Not just kick Him to the curb Monday through Saturday. Like I said, I know this goes a lot deeper than what I'm talking about, but we're just going to go on. Take it on the shield of faith and take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Romans 12 tells us, I'm just going to flip there so I don't make my mistakes. But it tells us that in Romans chapter 12, Paul said, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. He also says, and be not conformed to this world. Do not resemble the world. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you, when we talk about Satan and the battle that we have, you know what part of that battle is? It's the battle of the mind. It's the battle of what we pay attention to and what we watch. Because when it's in the mind, it'll eventually what? Go deep. Out in the heart. be transformed by the renewing of it. Hebrews tells us, the writer tells us in Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, getting rid of the sin that does so easily beset us. You know what hinders Micah Barber from his walk? It's that big old TV I got sitting in my living room. It's that cell phone that I got in my pocket. It's those YouTube videos. Let me tell you, sometimes when you watch something, certain things, it's what? It sticks in your mind. And it gets down deep within the heart. Let God resonate not only in your heart, but in your train of thoughts. That the Word of God would dwell continually. I believe it is Deuteronomy chapter 6 as well, that they were to have the law of the Lord as frontlets in between their eyes. So that way, day and night, they were continually thinking upon the Word of God. And God would be on their mind from the rising of the morning to the setting of the sun. That they would talk about God to their children and their children's children. They pass that responsibility down. Now the sword of the Word, which the sword of God, which is what? The Word of God. Let me tell you, have you tried cutting anything? You know, I got a few knives at the house. You tried cutting anything with a dull knife? But it just don't work. Just don't work. Folks, the sword of God, the Word of God. It's quicker, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder, cutting the joints and marrows of the heart, and discerning the very thoughts and intents of the heart. But folks, what good is the sword of the Spirit if that sword is dull? And I'll tell you this, what I mean by that, you say, well now, Brother Barber, you're talking about the Spirit of God. Well, what I mean by the sword being dull is the fact that when we come to worship the Lord and we do it as a routine and we don't do it in the manner of trying to praise God, that sword of the Spirit, it just gets dull. When we're not nose deep in the Word, trying to study and meditate on our Sunday school lessons and the things that's been taught, we become dull in the Word of God. It doesn't become sharp. It becomes dull in our daily duty. What good is a servant in the army of God if he does not know the doctrines that the Bible teaches? I've had people to say, well now, preacher, I think you need to preach on this. Preacher, I think you need to preach on that. Well, folks, first and foremost, I want to thank you for your opinion on what you think I should preach. I'm not trying to be rude. Don't think that. But I want you to know this. Whether you tell me what I think I should preach or not, my command comes from God. And if you're not satisfied with what I should preach, sounds like you need to take it to the Lord. But I'll tell you this. If you think we need to talk about something, come to Sunday school. Come to Bible study. That's why we have that. So we can open up the Word and dig into it together. And if it's a very personal question, me as your pastor, call me. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Call me. And I would gladly sit down and talk with you for hours upon hours just studying the Word of God. The Word of God is my favorite conversation to have. I get so excited when somebody comes in the barbershop and they tell me, well, let me tell you what I believe. Oh, I get so excited. I start bubbling up inside because after they tell me what they think and the doctrines they uphold, I start going, okay, let me tell you what I find in the Word. The Word is my favorite conversation, and it should be the conversation of every single believer and child of God.
Now I'm going to go on, say this, and I'll be done, I promise you. Actually, I can't do that. My wife told me the other day I need to stop promising that I'll be done, because it seems like when I say that, I'll go on for another 20 minutes. So, but I'll try to be done. The 18th verse, Paul's wrapping this thing up. He displays the whole armor to them. He talks about the battle that's before them. And he's wrapping this whole thing up. And he said, praying always. He said, now you've got your gear, you've got your armor, you know what they mean, you know what they stand for. Now pray. Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's not be jealous over our prayer lives, folks. Sometimes I find myself, you know, a few years ago I was immature, and I found myself jealous over things. I found myself jealous over brethren who would, it seemed like they were preaching as much as they could. And they were very well studied and very knowledgeable. It seems like the Spirit of God just helped it out. I was jealous. So I would just pray for me. And I had to come to the realization, I'm not in this battle alone. Folks, you're not in this battle alone either. When you're praying, you need to pray for all the saints of God. Pray for all our preachers. Pray for all the lay members. Pray for all the lay members that make up the body of this church, whether you like them or not. Period. Because they are your brother and sister in Christ, and we are in this battle together, not against one another. We are in it together. And I believe through a church that is in unity with one another, in one accord with one another, God will get the honor and glory out of it. There isn't a more powerful church, more than a church that prays together, that is in unity with one another, and that is on their toes watching for Satan to sneak in. And I tell you this, just when we think things are going good, you need to have your guard up. I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. I sure hope you did. I say that to you with as much love as I have in my heart for you. Don't fight one another, but be in unity. Don't let Satan have his way, but be in unity. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song or two. Let us all stand and sing this morning.